Confession. And if you remember, I just want to go over briefly in this that God is working in bringing everything into the conformity of His will. Nothing is going to be left unturned. Everything in your life, my life, what we do, what we say, where we go, how we act, our whole being, God is working with. And He's bringing every part of you into the conformity of His will. And this is why we hold on in salvation, that Greek word sozo, means to wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. Whatever is not conforming to the will of God, whether it's bondage, poverty, sickness, oppression, you name it, it will be conformed to God's standard. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is why we believe we enter now into the blessings of God even in this life. And that is why He said, I am the Lord that heals thee. By the stripes of Christ we are healed. And that is why we hold to divine healing. And that is why we're working, and God is working with our confession, because our confession tells us where we are in the faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. And that is why He's working, transforming the mind, Romans 12:2. That our minds are worked upon. And so that God is working that deliverance in the mind, so that those doors that are open, where it is wrong attitudes, wrong motives, wrong confessions, will be closed. God can and will bring us to a place where we can experience that Satan has no part in us, no part in the church, because doors are closed, because we walk by faith and not by sight. And I showed you last time that Jesus also walked by that same principle in John 6, that he too walked by faith, and that he revealed in his ministry that he only said and did that which was revealed by his Father. Whatever his Father revealed, whatever his Father said, he did it, he confessed it, he spoke it. Because he was one with the Father. And that is why we're baptized in the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings to us Jesus in his fullness. Because he said, there am I in the midst of you where two or three are gathered together. I will not leave you comfortless, he said to the disciples, but I will come and return to you. And when they received the baptism of the Spirit in the upper room, they knew what they were receiving. They were receiving the Holy Spirit. They were receiving Jesus. They were rejoicing because Jesus had come back. He had returned. And that should be the same with us. It should be the same experience. That through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is revealing himself to you. He's speaking to you. He's loving you. He's encouraging you. He's admonishing you. Rebuking you. Leading you. Guiding you. Loving you. By the Spirit. By the anointing. That is why it's so real. And you don't need evidence. You don't need feelings for that if you truly have received. And that is why we walk by faith. We still want those feelings. We still somehow want to know that God is answering my prayers, or I'm in faith. And sometimes we still use things like, well, I've got God's peace. I've got his presence. Well, that isn't on the basis of believing by faith. If you're walking right with God, you should have that. That should be experienced. It's got nothing to do because I've stepped out in faith. Oh, I've got the peace, by the way. Or I felt an anointing in my hand. Now, God can do that. Sometimes God puts an anointing in my hand, but that doesn't matter. It's got nothing to do with what God says in his word. What he wants me to do is to believe that and confess that. To line up with that. That is the point, you see. And if you get an anointing, praise God. Jesus found virtue went out of him when the widow touched his garment with the issue of blood. And I think that was just to find out who it was. We also know that Jesus couldn't minister in some places because there was no faith. Sometimes he used mud to heal. But he moved by faith. That is the point. There's no healing in oil. And people still think that you anoint with oil because somehow that oil changes supernaturally and there's a healing aspect to it. It isn't. Oil, and if we anoint by oil, and we do sometimes, because it says in James 5, call for the elders, anoint over them the prayer of faith. But God doesn't always work that way. And all that is not oil is simply a point of contact. Quickening faith. Sometimes I have prayed for people on the internet, and sometimes God has led me for them to touch that computer and I touch it as well. And we have had some wonderful testimonies of healing where they've been touched. Only last week we had some sisters were touched by that after the meeting. But it doesn't always work that way. The point is it's by faith. And you will know whether you're in faith because you will hear the confession. And that is what we're labouring. As I say, there's nothing new about that at all. And as I showed you last time, all our lives from birth, we've been taught to confess the negative. Because until we were born again, we were held by the god of this world, Satan. And we're told that he's nothing but a robber and a thief and a liar. And that's what he ministered to you. And that's why you were held in fear and unbelief. So God has to undo all of that. He has to deliver us. And it takes a time. And we find that we're in the world, we go out to work, we have our daily occupations, our chores, things we have to do. We find that it doesn't take long where that world and the spirit of that world out there is trying to get in, isn't it? It's trying to bring us down. It's trying to get us to confess what they're confessing and believing. And thank God we can draw aside, and as the Lord says, come into my presence and close the door. And he revives us and encourages us. And that's why we come to meetings as well, don't we? So that he works with us, transforming, working with our minds, so that our spirit, our heart is changed, so that we can get that true confession to line up and to agree with God's word. Everything you do must agree perfectly. That's what faith is. That's what Jesus said, that mustard seed of faith. Somebody once asked me, well, what actually is that mustard seed of faith? I said, it is when you are completely agreeing and lining up with the perfect will of God, that is God's word, that is that mustard seed of faith. Because then the seed is birthed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is what? God's word, that which he has spoken. And so God speaks out that word. And we speak out that word by the anointing, by the Spirit, when we agree. And when all the conditions are met, you have the authority to speak out in the name of Jesus. You have the authority to then lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. You have authority to cast out those demons because you are completely agreeing and lining up with what God has said. And he says, my word will go forth and not return to me void, but will go forth and accomplish that wherewith I send it to. As it says in Isaiah. Do you see this? It's lining up. It is agreeing. It is harmony. And I'm constantly hearing, just lately, the Holy Spirit, as he speaks to us or speaks to us in prophecy, he's talking about us lining up with him, fellowship with him, drawing close to him, agreeing with him, walking with him. That is coming out a lot. Why? Because it's exactly what I'm saying, you see. You know when you're in faith and when you're not. Because the signs tell us. So this whole Christian faith and walk is about confession. Is it based on what we believe? Well, these were all, of course, the things that I spoke about last week. But I want to continue with this, along this same theme, that the Holy Spirit is working on our confession. Turn with me now, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. And so today I want to take this a step further. Why God so works on our confession, our belief, because Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, the high priest, here is what he says he is. He says that he is a high priest of whose confession? Our confession in Christ Jesus. So he has become a high priest, an intercessor praying for you and me, what is he ultimately praying about? He's getting you to confess his word, to agree with his word that he can present to the Father, that the Father can be glorified. Can you see that? Probably some of you have never seen that before. That is what is actually his priestly ministry is about, to work with you to get you to confess right. This is why we make so much of it. We have to give him a positive confession, which has got to harmonize with his word, else he cannot be glorified. He can't work. You see, a negative confession gives access for Satan to enter and oppress. How do we know? Well, somebody asks you, how do you feel today? Oh, not so good. Not so good. I wish you hadn't asked that. I really don't feel so good. I had a terrible night last night. And I really just don't know whether I can make it through the day today. Because I've got to have at least 8-10 hours sleep. And if I don't have that, I am useless. You will be. You'll drag your foot all day, as though you've got a ball and chain on it. Well, sometimes I don't get very good night's sleep. It's disturbed. But I get up in the morning and say, Father, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because my strength can only lie in him. Now, when God hears that, he's going to bring that before the Father. Because that's the confession he wants to hear. We are so snared by our confession, by our words. And that is why God will allow sometimes the world out there, those people, your next door neighbour, to ask you such questions like that, to simply find out what's coming out of your mouth. How are you today? I'm blessed. They might not be able to handle it, but that's what you are. You're blessed, are you not? You see? You don't have to go into a long dialogue. You don't have to be religious about it, you know, but you're blessed. And this is what God wants to hear, because Satan wants to keep you oppressed, held down in this area. He wishes you to confess the negative, because the reason that he wants you to confess the negative is because in Romans chapter 12, and verse 11, he wants to hold you down in the negative, because this is how the overcomers overcome. In Revelation 12, and verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. He's an accuser. And he wants to accuse you. He wants to use your confession, your negative confession, and bring that before the throne of God. To keep you bound. To stop you from being raised up in blessing and glory by the power of the Spirit. That is his role. And God lets him do that. Permits him to do that in order for you to overcome. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God and those who are called according to his purpose and grace. He allows that. He allows for season access by the enemy into your life, because he's going to perfect and work on your confession. And when you seek God, you think, how long is this going to go on for? What do you hear from God? He says, my grace is sufficient until I've dealt with you. Can you begin to see now how important this is? Moses failed in his confession. He failed by the fact that he said, I haven't got it, I'm weak, And I cannot talk. And so as a result of that, God said, right, bring Aaron along. And God gave him what he confessed. And that's the whole point, you see. And so on the basis of that, Aaron was there as well. Never really meant to be. God meant to raise up a generation through Moses. The children of Israel, I've shown you already, we'll look at it later on. They didn't enter in because of their confession. And so Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, is going to accuse you before God, and he has something to hold against you. Because when he gets you confessing what he wants you to confess, he's got you. He has access into your life. And this is why God is closing these areas in your life, in your mind. Closing these doors. Because up until now, he still has that access. That is why confession is so vital. Now, I think in the past, where a lot of this went wrong, because a little bit was what we call auto-suggestion. And that is psychology. Just confess the positive and it will change. Well, you cannot confess unless you have a basis in which to confess. Confession is based on truth. And truth is based on deliverance. For the word of God says, if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. Psychology cannot really set you free. And so by the fact that we confess truth is setting us free. And therefore God has a basis in which he works, and we keep with it until our confession changes and harmonizes with the word of God. That is why this is valid and true. This is not psychology, which sometimes we have been accused by. Why, even doctors, psychiatrists, they know the importance of the mind and thinking to think positively. This is why, many times sicknesses can be psychosomatic. They think themselves into sickness. Some people are actually not happy until they get a negative report from the doctor. Then when they hear that negative report, then they're happy. Because they can't live with the fact that you can be well and live without sickness. You see? The whole of society lives on the negative. Newspapers print the negative. Magazines print the negative. They say we have a drug problem, and yes we do, but the way they print it is as though the whole world is under the influence of drugs or alcohol. It's a minute percentage, but that's the way they present it. Insurance companies are raking it in because they feed on that when it's probably less than 1% who has their house burnt down. But you've got to have these mega insurances. And none of them are secure. Oh no, they're not. And so it goes on. So it goes on. I had somebody ring me yesterday from some energy company. And I said, well, before you go on, I said, I never ever commit myself over the phone. Because I said, there's so much forgery, bogus spam today. I said, so I'll let you know first where I'm going. And then, of course, she went on. And I said, well, you're getting me to go over this energy saving. And I said, you know, it's a bit like insurances. It's a bit like telephone companies and all that. You go over to them only to find you get a good deal for the year. And then when you get your next bill the following year, it's all gone straight through the roof. Oh, she said, that's how it goes, of course. She said, that's competition. And I said, yes, to try and change, I said, all the bureaucracy that's involved, all that you have to do to try and change over to different companies and whatever it is. I said, you've so worked it very cleverly that you make it difficult. She said, well, we'll take on board these things, what you're saying, because it is being recorded. I said, will you do that? I said, have a nice day. See, I know where it comes from. I know how they work it. You see? This is the point. It's based on the negative. What if? You see? And God is trying to work with you and I that we can walk totally by faith. We have lived by faith over the years, trusting God in many areas, and it is an absolute privilege. We don't put our trust in the arm of the flesh, in the insurance company. We put our trust in the Word of God and His promises. But the point is, you have to be believing those promises. And it's not just a question, oh, I confess those promises. It's whether those promises possess you. That is the point. And you will know whether they do because your trials tell you, which we labour to you every time, every week. And that is why I'm showing you that Jesus is the confession of our faith. He is that high priest, and he's interceding, and he's working on your confession now to line up and to agree so that he can present that before the Father, that the Father may be glorified. Otherwise, there's no point in confessing. There's no point in believing. You've got to go right back. You have to confess it as sin. I am not believing. My confession doesn't line up with your word. And the trials tell us. Why am I laboring in all of this? Because there's coming an hour and a time when you will not be able to draw your resources any longer from the arm of the flesh. They are introducing, they are working it. It's called the mark of the beast. And that is why he that has an ear, let him hear today, now, what the Spirit is saying to the church. Yet some of us, we are still not taking heed. Because that world out there is still attractive. Some of us have just got to come clean before God and just say, Lord, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but there's still things of that world I love. And it's got me. It holds me. And the devil knows it. You know it. And I'm paralyzed in areas. I know I just cannot change. Those doors are not going to close. I bring this before you. Because I'm at your mercy, at your grace, at your bidding. Now, if you truly want that, if you truly want that change, that deliverance, our Father who loves us with an everlasting love is not going to deny you that. He is going to start to work on that. It may be painful. It may be a season of deliverance, but He is going to do that. And we have just got to come clean. We have just got to come and be absolutely honest that world out there, there's still things that I like about it. There's still things out there I want to be identified with it. We're still finding sometimes this separation to God we're finding difficult. Because somehow we've got it in our thinking that if I'm going to be separated to God, oh, I'm going to be a fuddy-duddy, I'm going to be dowdy, plain, and all those things that the enemy tries to suggest to us. Well, he's a liar. He's a liar. No, your separation unto God means that he's going to make you a whole being, entire, complete in him. Someone who is going to, where God is going to be glorified in your example when you go out and when you come in. God doesn't always show us that, but but the world sees it out there. That's what he's working with us to do. And of course, so as we conform, as we're separated under God, so our conversation, our confession changes. He doesn't want us talking the way of the world. He doesn't want you talking how they talk at work. Or these terrible things that are on television, and so on. No, our confession is important. I showed you last week in Romans 10:10 that it's about our confession, what we confess. And with the heart is salvation, and with the mouth is confession. You cannot confess if it is not in the heart. You can deceive yourself, but it will be exposed, and it will be exposed by a trial. That is the point. And our trials are to tell us something. And that is why the humble, that's why God speaks about so much about humbling, bowing the knee, because it's by walking in a humble state that in a trial, it then tells us what God is saying. And then we can confess it. But the proud will not listen to that. The proud will not listen to that inner voice that's trying to speak in a trial. You see? That is why humility is so important. Bowing the knee is so important, because that is getting us to change our confession, to line it up with the Word of God. Vitally important. And of course we see in the scriptures many of the saints where they missed it. And I can tell you every time they missed it by the fact that they didn't believe. By the fact that their confession didn't line up with the Word of God. The children of Israel many times when they lost battles because they were confessing fear. They couldn't overcome Goliath because they were confessing fear. But notice the confession of David, completely different. Why? Because it was in his heart. That is why. You see? And fear is the number one thing that will hold back believers. Fear is what Satan uses. Fear is what will stop you from going on into the deeper life. I think some are still afraid to go deeper with God because it means change. And we're afraid to change. We're bound by fear. And therefore we cannot confess, we cannot believe. And so the negative is going to come out. And you see, Satan can only have access into your life when that negative confession comes out. And as he says in Proverbs 6 and verse 2, which I'll read to you again, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Who snares? The devil. He sets a trap. And because you are snared by that, he says you're taken by that. You are trapped by that. Are you trapped today by your confession? If you are, then you've got to change it. You've got to start seeking God. You see, God has made every provision for us possible. There is no provision in this life that he has not made for us. And I want you to see this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21. You've probably got this underlined. Proverbs chapter 3. Sorry, 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21, 22. Therefore, let no one boast in men. There you are. So you, in other words, don't rely, don't boast. Don't boast that man did this. Don't boast that because the doctors healed me and raised me up. Don't boast because this house that I'm blessed by is I've got it because I'm totally up to my eyes in debt. So he said, don't boast in man. For all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, all things present, all things to come, all are yours. And that comes on the basis of believing, and that believing is confession. And confession is possession. And you are in Christ, and Christ is God. So in Christ, all things are yours. Everything that Christ shares with his bride. What a confession. What an inheritance. But where are we? That's why we can be snared by the enemy, by what comes out of our mouth. We really do have to take this seriously, brothers and sisters. Yet we let Satan rob us, don't we? What does it say in John 10, chapter 10 and verse 10? John 10:10, it says this. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have overcome that they may have life and that they may have it in more abundant or more abundantly. And that's why he's a door and we enter through that door. He says in verse 9. What is the nature of Satan? He's a thief. What is he stealing? He's stealing your inheritance. He's stealing your deliverance. He's stealing your healing. He's stealing your finances. He's stealing your time. He is stealing. In any area where there's still access, a door is open, he is stealing and robbing from you. Now think about this. Are you going to leave your property unlocked? Are you going to leave the doors open? Are you going to leave the doors open in the car? Of course you don't. You are diligent over that. Then why are we not diligent even more over our own lives? Guarding our minds. Doing what he shows us. Because that is his nature. To come and steal and to rob from you. And to keep you bound and fettered and oppressed. To keep your confession lining up with his lies and deceptions. And so on. He'll keep you bound up. Well, we can't afford this. After all, we're up to our eyeballs in debt. We can't afford this. And so you can't. You're held by it. But the point is, don't start buying things if it's not faith. That is the point. That's where people have gone very wrong. Because they think by confessing it, well, that's my confession. It's not until they find that they owe a huge amount, then you'll really hear the true confession come out. You'll then see the fears, the anxieties, the worries. See? So it gives itself away. That is the point. And we've all made mistakes with our steps of faith, with our confession, thinking it was, you see. So we have to use that wisdom. Sometimes I have asked God, Lord, am I in that place of faith yet? And God will show me. And sometimes I am, and sometimes I'm not. Then I'm not going to step out. Other times I just know. I just know faith is there. I don't have to be told it's there. I just know, you see. Because the confession, the thinking tells me so. I'll never forget when we booked Kinmel Hall years back. And God opened up for that convention. I never once thought or considered that the bill had to be paid for that huge place. Somehow it never just occurred to me. I was working on planning it, contacts, inviting the people, so forth. Where the main thing actually was concerned was actually paying for it. I didn't even think about that. I just simply moved forward with what I believe God was showing, what he was going to book and bless, my confession, so forth. And it wasn't until we were there, until we started to make a collection, I thought, oh yes, we have to pay for this, don't we? And it was something like £3,500. It suddenly occurred to me, I thought, well, praise God, we're here, he's going to pay. And did we? And did it come in? Boy, did God bless. That's the point. I just simply moved by faith. Yet there have been other areas of moving in the areas of finance, and I've known that I've not been in that place of faith. So I don't move out in it until God brings me to that place. This is the point, you see. This is why we have all the wisdom literatures in the Word of God. Proverbs, Psalms, Ecclesiastes and so forth. You see? Yet we let Satan rob us. And that's why I say to you over and over again, we will never move beyond our confession. Proverbs 6:2, you are snared by words. You will never move beyond your confession and your confession. What you believe, you'll never move beyond that. You see, Israel's perished because of confession. Let's read it again in Numbers. Numbers 14. Let's just remind ourselves of these things. Numbers 14. You can underline this. Numbers 14, verses 1 and 2. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. If only we had died. What are they talking about? Here they are, nearly 40 years earlier, in bondage, crying out to God to be delivered. God delivers them supernaturally. And what are they talking about now? If only we had died. Why? Because they've heard that there are giants in the land. Fear. That's fear speaking. What's Satan doing right there? He is robbing them of their inheritance. And listen to this. Let's see in verse 28-29 of the same chapter. 28-29, here it goes. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. You will be carcasses. What does he say? On the basis of your confession, you will not enter. Why? Because you have let the powers of darkness rob you. You have believed him. And we have Christians confessing Christ who do exactly the same. Churches are filled with believers today. Confessing the negative, what they can't do, how they can't do it. I can't do this. I can't overcome this. And that's why you've got week after week after week, believers coming up for prayer for the same old thing, never getting delivered. Prayer requests, names coming up week after week, and the only time they get offered it is when they die. It's true, because I went that route. We used to have prayer lists in our denomination. And the only way they got off it is when they died or left the church. They remained on it otherwise. And I began to even see something was wrong with that. Why? Because the enemy comes to rob, to steal. And he's going to attack your faith, your confession. And that is why I opened up at the beginning that Jesus is our high priest. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He's the high priest of our confession. And he wants to hear that confession lining up, and he's going to speak that before the Father. And the Father will answer. The Father will give. The Father will give that finances. The Father will heal that body. The Father will save that loved one. The Father will bless you with your house. The Father will bless you, because he's going to answer his Son. He doesn't question his Son, because he's given it all to him. And you are agreeing with the Holy Spirit's work and ministry. And so Israel never made it in. And that's why you see the negative thoughts, suggestions, has tremendous power over the mind and the body. Not that I'm recommending it, don't do it. But if you want to start thinking about a cold, sickness, flu, a bad head, just put your mind over to it now. Just start to think those thoughts. Just start to confess it. And I can tell you, probably by the end of the day or tomorrow, half of you will be down with something. That is the power of suggestion. It is. It is that powerful. People have heart attacks because they think themselves into a heart attack, a lot of them. Same with strokes. So many people are gripped in fear of the possibility of getting cancer. We say today, why is it that cancer is such an epidemic and everything? Because it's so promoted. It's why? News media, devil knows exactly what he's doing. Oh, this latest prevention, you know, they've got out this tablet now, and this is really helping towards bowel cancer and everything. Oh, I better take that in case I... What? Get bowel cancer? I better go and see, you know, just I better take these tablets. See, like you've opened up. The power of suggestion. The enemy knows exactly how to hold. And yet we hear, don't we, today, oh no, it's the world, it's the way we're living today. It's stress, can certainly have it. It's pollution and everything like that. And it's chemicals and everything we use. They use global warming to blame for the increase of disease and sickness and everything. It isn't. If you listen, it's global warning, and the warning is, it's the power of suggestion. Opening the mind, the heart to it. Believing the powers of darkness, and Christians, so many of them, are bound by this. We've got to get free. For whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed. Now only you can take authority over this. And it starts, if you agree with this, believe what this old preacher is saying today, this old nutter. There's a lot of people think he's totally off his head. Whether you believe it or not, I'm pointing you all the time to the Word of God, not to me. I want you to inherit your inheritance. There's nothing gives me greater pleasure than I've done my job to glorify the Lord, that you are glorified in him as well. Because I know from experience how the enemy works and how he tries to rob us. He comes like a thief to steal, to rob. And that's why you see this power of suggestion and thought can be so powerful. You see, if I start to describe to you an eclair, that wonderful chocolate eclair, and that beautiful choux pastry, and filled with cream, you know, and everything, I can tell you what's happening. Your saliva glands are beginning to work. There wasn't one face that went, mmm. Wasn't one. smiles came on your face. Why? Because that was the power of suggestion. See, I've got you with an eclair. Do you want me to carry on? I watched a film on it was a life of a cook. She was passionate about cooking and everything, and anyway, eventually she writes her recipes and so forth. And I was watching this film. It's quite a nice film, actually. I was starved at the end of it. I was so hungry, because all he saw through this film was wonderful dishes being presented and food, and trying this recipe out and everything. My saliva glands were working overtime. The power of suggestion. And look how the devil works, you see. Now, I realize that it has to take the baptism of the Holy Spirit to help us with this, and that's why he's come. Because suggestions, the power of suggestions, can be overwhelming. So strong. But you see, the point is, do we believe in them? You see? That is the point. You know, we might smell something. Smell something smells like a burning. Or the place is on fire. That's the power of saying, well, it might not be on fire. It could be somebody out in the corridor who's actually lit up a cigarette. But that's what the power of suggestion can do. And then it works with fear. Have you noticed at night? Have you ever walked down late at night down a dark alley that you're going to get to your house? It's quite an experience. I'll tell you one thing you start to do, you start to pace up your walk. You start walking a lot quicker like that. And you always sort of just turn the head so that you can try and use your peripheral vision to see, is there anyone following me? We just do it. Everything comes alive. The imagination, we take the power of thought, suggestion in. You know, is somebody going to be there? Is going to knife me or rob me? You know, we see it. And of course, if a tree casts a shadow, well, you shriek out. We do it. We just do it, don't we? I've done it, and I think, where are you coming from, Kim? Don't you believe he says he gives charge over you? Why do I do this, Lord? And the Lord says, because you don't yet believe. It's not a blinding revelation. But we do it. Praise God. We're going to stay with this till we get delivered. Are we not? Amen? Because I need it as much as you do. I know some people think I'd sound like a broken record. We've had all of this over the years. Well, I don't know about you, but for me today, this is still fresh. There's something in this today I've needed to hear. Amen? Because that's fresh manna that God gives to us week after week. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the deliverance. Thank you for the change of heart and mind. Lord, those areas where we can still be so gripped and held by, Father. Lord, we bow our heads in shame. But Lord, you love us. You don't give up on us. And Father, we want that confession to completely line up and agree with your word, your promises. Lord, we're confessing before you right now. No longer are we going to allow or let the devil rob us of our blessing. On the basis of our belief and confession, Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to have full access, full control in areas where we're still held in unbelief, that we will change, Father, for your glory. Please do this, we ask. And Lord, I pray you'll be with all our brothers and sisters who are online today. Be with them, Lord, also. Help them, Father. And Father, we thank you that we've had this meeting today, and that we believe you've been glorified. And Father, thank you for putting it in our hearts to come here, or to come onto the internet, or to bring us into this room, so that we might be blessed, we might hear the word of God. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name.
Lord, yes, I will pray. And I will sing all